I invite you this morning to take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 1. Last week we began what will be a series through Christmas related to things that you and I need to understand and know, and things that we are to adore our Lord concerning. We looked at this particular word, adore, that comes from the Christmas hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful. And the idea of adore is an interesting word. It certainly means to honor, to reverence, to adorn, to magnify, to glorify, but it comes from the idea of allegiance. As a matter of fact, whenever a subject would bow before the king, in the Latin it was the word adore, which was the idea of bowing down before the king, taking the king's hand and kissing it. It was an image of obeisance and allegiance. And I want to bring that out in these weeks as we look at God's Word. And I'm drawing your attention today to John chapter 1 because there is certainly many things in this passage of Scripture to cause us to adore our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we're going to focus on the fact that He is infinite, that He is omnipotent, and that He has exercised creative power in our behalf. I think it's important for us to see this as we look at John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, by the way, the word was does not actually appear in the text. It was supplied by the translators in this particular context. You see the word was when it relates to man. There was a man, verse 6, sent from God whose name was John. That word was appears in the text. But in our text, in the beginning, the Word. In the beginning, the Word. There is no was present there. And it emphasizes how specific God's Word is concerning the fact that Jesus Christ has no beginning. He has no end. Now, you and I have a beginning. But in Christ Jesus, we have no end. And that's even brought out in the text here. In the beginning, the Word, and the Word with God. Again, there's no was there in the original language. And the Word, God. Did you see that? Oh, it's so important that we grasp a hold of this truth. In the beginning, the Word, and the Word with God, and the Word, God. That's the picture that's given to us here because of the eternal existence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the eternal Word. The same in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. The Word of God is so clear in this regard. John the Baptist wasn't the light, though he is called a burning and shining light later on in the Gospels. But he was one that was sent to bear witness of that light. And by the way, that's what every preacher's job is. That's what every missionary's job is. That's what your job is. Oh, we like to throw it on the pastor and the preacher, don't we? Oh, yeah, you've got to be out there witnessing. Oh, what are you doing? Well, I'm not very good at witnessing. Oh, so we have an excuse for not doing what God commanded us to do. And that's to get the Word out. Get the Word out. Every Christmas card, Christian, should have a clear gospel message in it to your family and friends. Do I hear an amen? Oh, we can send out the Christmas cards. But I want to tell you something. Do we care about their eternal soul and where they're going to live for all eternity? John came to bear witness of that light, we are told. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, verse 10. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. Now here we find in verse 14 that the Word was does appear. All right, talking about Jesus come in the flesh. Now we see it here. Because in the flesh He began at Bethlehem. In the flesh, His humanity, not His divinity and deity. That always was in eternity past, no beginning. But in Bethlehem He took upon flesh so that He could be like you and I, except for what? He didn't have a sin nature. He couldn't sin. He was the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God who could take away the sins of the world because He Himself knew no sin. Oh, it's so wonderful to know that our Savior was uniquely sent to deliver us from our sin. And the Word was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now I want us to look at the second reason for us to come and adore our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that is He is infinite, He is omnipotent, and He is the Creator of all things. He is the Creator of all things. Through Him, all things exist. All things are held together because of Jesus Christ. There's not a galaxy in this universe that wasn't made by Jesus Christ. Oh, there's a lot of attention up in the skies now. Have you read about it? What's happening this Christmas with the alignment of Jupiter and so forth, supposed to be what they call the Christmas light? But I want to tell you, that wasn't what it was during the thing. This was a magnificent creative act of God. He put a light that moved and brought the wise men from their ancient and far past to bring them to where the Christ child was. All right, everybody understand that? God created, everybody's been looking to see, where is it at up in the sky? God made it for that special occasion. So there would be a light that would move and direct them to that particular place where the Christ child was. John 1, 1 through 5 has a wonderful message for us concerning the greatness of the eternal Word, the greatness, His power, and the fact that He is the Creator. In the beginning, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. And verse 3, all things were made by Him. Made by whom? The Word. And who is the Word? The Word is Jesus Christ. All things were made by Him. You know, it's interesting that science textbooks today seek to discredit any kind of a concept of a creative being, right? They despise ideas of a divine entity that would create things. They would instead put forth this crazy notion. They can't explain where everything came from. So they said, what was an explosion? What caused the explosion? I don't know, but it happened. All right, so you believe an explosion happened in the past that caused all these things to come to being, but you're unwilling to believe that there's a God that spoke the worlds into existence? I have said this for years. I'm going to repeat it again this morning. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does in the written Word of God. That's just utter nonsense. But it's believed by billions of people instead of the simple Word of God. The Bible says in verse 3 that all things were made by Him. And if you were confused about that, He goes on to say, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That latter part are for dummies like me. All right? All things were made by Him. Well, there might be one thing. Oh, wait! And without Him was not anything made that was made. Listen, it takes a rebellious heart. Are you listening to me now? It takes a rebellious heart to deny what that scripture verse is saying. You're saying that you're greater than God. That's what you're saying. To reject that Jesus Christ is the Creator of all things to say that's not true. You are making yourself God. And heaven help us all if you're God, because we have no power. We can barely put a light bulb in a socket. We struggle walking through our yards. We do all kinds of things and mess things up all the time. Try using a smartphone. Get that smartphone? And we struggle with it. Do you know how to do this option? And I say, no, I don't. And I say, everybody looks at me like I'm some kind of a dummy or whatever. But tell you the truth, they don't know how to use half the functions on theirs either. Okay? Listen, it's nothing but rebellion that says that Jesus Christ did not create all things. The whole teaching of evolution is based on rebellion against God. He made all things, and by Him, all things consist. In other words, they hold together. What keeps a tiny atom from splitting apart and creating horrendous destruction? I know. It's not some evolutionary principle. It's not something that cannot be explained. It's simply, I know the person that does it, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the adhesive nature that holds that atom together. We know how to split them, but we don't know how to make them. And that shows you how limited we are. We can pat ourselves on the back and say, yes, we know how to harness the energy of nuclear power. Yeah, but who made it? Who made that power? Who encapsulated all that power in a tiny atom that you can't even see? It's Jesus Christ. You know, we need to be reminded on a regular basis about just how weak and small we really are. We get puffed up with pride about the things we can do, the things that we can remember, the things that we can accomplish. I mentioned this before about how everybody's so excited about going to Mars. I got a list of people that I'd like to send there. All right? I imagine you've got one too, amen? Have a little fun with that. Yeah. Think with me for just a moment. What we learn from John chapter 1, the first 5 verses. Number 1, we learn that our Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. That's what we learn. He's eternal. And by the way, you are going to live somewhere forever as well. You did not exist in eternity past, but you will exist for all eternity. When you were born on this earth, you began a journey that will continue on forever and ever. And God has interrupted your journey to communicate to you that He's eternal, that He has created all things, and that He came to this earth and bore your sin debt in His body on the tree so that you could spend all eternity with Him. Because the alternative is spending all eternity in a devil's hell. That's the only 2 choices. I know religion has all kinds of other options available. I'm reminded of Henry Ford. Told his customers, you can have any color you want for your car so long as it's black. For the Model T. Yeah. Well, guess what? There's only 2 options. One is in Jesus Christ and the other is of your own doing. You'll go to hell apart from Him. Number 2, we learn that our Lord Jesus Christ is a person distinct from the Father and yet one with Him. God the Father did not die for my sins, and I say that with all respect. God the Father did not die for my sins, and God the Holy Spirit did not die for my sins. It was the incarnated Son of God that died on the cross of Calvary for my sins. We have a special connection to the Savior. I've said this before, and I'll say it again because it needs to be emphasized. When you depart this world and you go into the presence of Jesus Christ, you're not going to ask Jesus, where are all my friends at? You're going to be so enamored with the One who died, and you're going to see the handprints and the nail holes that are in the middle of His hands, and then you're going to see the scars on His forehead where they planted that crown of thorns and the spear that went through his side and the holes in his feet. And you're going to realize, we do in some measure, but not till when we see him, the price that was paid to deliver you from your selfish sin. You're not going to be interested in Aunt Maud, and you're not going to be interested in Uncle Tom. You're not going to be interested in all your family members. You're just going to see one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ who died on Calvary's tree. You'll have all eternity to see the rest of them. But there's only one person. It's the person that made the way for you to be there. For he said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are not many ways to heaven. There are not many ways to God. There's not your God and my God. It's the only true and living God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Him this morning, you better cry out to Him. Before the clock strikes 12, you better get alone with Him right now in your thoughts, and you better cry out to Him. You don't have to wait till an invitation. There have been many people I've talked to through the years that said, I didn't even make it to the invitation. God just started working in my heart, and I cried out to Him right where I was sitting. Can God do that? Yes, He can. Do you need that? Yes, you do. There's a lot of things that commercials tell you you need at Christmas time, but I'm telling you, there's only one person that you need, and that's Jesus Christ. If you don't get one gift this year, you have the greatest unspeakable gift that could ever have ever been given, and that's in Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people around this world aren't going to get much for Christmas. Some of them can't even go out and go shopping because of the restrictions that are in place. But that really doesn't matter, does it? If it matters to you and it my whole life's destroyed if we can't have Christmas like I want to have Christmas. Wait a minute, you don't understand what this is all about. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the gift, the eternal gift that never fades, never tarnishes, never breaks down, never rusts. I don't have any of my Christmas gifts from when I was a kid. You ever think about going back and playing with those toys that you had when you were a kid? I remember one Christmas, you know, the Lord took care of me on this one because He taught me a very valuable lesson. We used to have an Otasco store over in Pace. Anybody remember the old Otasco store? Just a few of us that grew up here. And they had a circular that came out once a week, and they had a caulking shotgun. Who ever heard of that? You generally pump a shot. But this had a lever-action shotgun. And I saw that, and I cut out pictures of that, and I posted it all over the house. Every circular that came out, I cut it out. I put it, whenever Dad slide open his mirror on his thing, there was a picture of that gun. Okay? Mom, I put it on her mirror in her room. Refrigerator, when you opened the door, it was hanging there. Okay? I made it clear. I wanted that caulking shotgun from Otasco. I started pilfering around the house. Guess what I found in my dad's closet? Man, you talk about, yeah! Woo! It worked! My plan worked! Christmas came in, I came in, you know. You know? And there it was, sitting there on the ground. Roger and I went outside, man, we shot more Indians. And we had more battles that took place. And guess whose gun broke first? I was trying to be the rifleman. Anybody remember that old show? I was going to go, you know, do that quick action thing. Which, by the way, that was a lie too. He shot off 11 shots and it was a 7-shot gun. How did he do that? The magic of Hollywood! But I was a dumb kid sitting there. Man, I want an 11-shot rifle! No, they don't exist. I went out back and I broke the handle off of the gun. I went to Roger. I said, Roger, can I borrow your gun? He said, you're not touching my gun. You just use your gun. So from that point on, guess who pretended to shoot? It was me. Bang, bang, he's over there. Pa-poom, doing his little pa-poom. It'd make that sound, you know. And here I was out there, bang, 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 doing it like I'd always done. You know what God did? He just took me over His heavenly knee and spanked me royally because I was selfish. I was selfish. That has stuck in my mind all those years later. I wonder where that gun is. It's in a dump somewhere. I don't know. But if I could take it back, that was pretty selfish, wasn't it? You say, well, that's just being a kid. Well, you know, kids grow up. And kids take the values that they got when they were children, and they live with them for the rest of their life. Amen? Better be putting some values that come from the Bible. A third thing that we learn from this passage is that the Lord Jesus Christ is very God. Jesus tells us that He, the Word God, that last phrase of verse 1, and the Word God, no was in between. Doesn't appear in the original language. It was supplied by the translators. And the Word God, Jesus Christ is God. He's eternal, He is omnipotent, and He is the creative power of all things. He is not merely a created angel or a being inferior to God the Father and invested with power to redeem sinners. No, no, no. He is nothing less than the perfect God, equal to the Father. And He is also the perfect man. And without Him becoming the perfect man, I have no hope. We have a man in the glory today. And He pleads our cause before the Father. I'm so thankful for that. We've done a lot of pleading this year in 2020, have we not? Been a lot of friends, been sick. Been a lot of folks, a lot of difficulties, a lot of trials that people have been through. And we've gone, and we can do that because we have a man in the glory. A mediator that was tempted in all points as we are. He knows. He knows us. He knows the problems that we face. And He pleads before the Father, my case. I want you to see fourthly here that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator of all things. All things. All means all. That's all means. We had an evangelist that came through many, many years ago when I was a child, and he had a message. All means all. That's all means. And he preached that message, and I've had it memorized ever since he was here. All means all. That's all means. But it made an impression upon me. When you read the word all in the Bible, when it says all, it doesn't have an exclusive clause in there. There's an exception here. Oh, no. He made all things. John tells us that by Him were all things made, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I want to look for just a moment at the last thing. Jesus Christ, the last thing taught about this is Jesus Christ is the source of all spiritual life and light. Jesus Christ is the source of all spiritual life and light. John tells us that in Him was life, and life was the light of men. You ever meditated on that phrase? Jesus Christ is life. You know, there are a lot of ideas about what life is. How many times have you sat down to a meal and said, now this is the life? All right? Gator seafood. Boy, I tell you, I love their mullet. I love their coleslaw. I love their cheese grits. I love their hot mullet. And I've said it so many times, this is the life! But there's more to life than mullet. There's more to life than cheese grits. There's more to life than, you know, coleslaw. That's pretty low standard, right? Now, I'm not criticizing Gator seafood right there, but we've all done it, right? We've all said, this is the life. I remember one time I was in college, and one of the boys was given. His father was a high paid attorney, and he drove to college this brand new Mercedes-Benz that he was given as a graduation gift from his dad. All right. Now, he didn't park in the same place that I parked. All right. We were over there on Poverty Row, and there was my old 75 Ford Maverick was sitting over there, you know, and waiting to be worked on again. And he drove up and he said, you guys want a ride? He was in our prayer group. I said, sure. Man, I've never ridden in a Mercedes-Benz before. So I crawled in to that car and it went when the doors closed. It didn't go clunk like mine did. You could feel the pressure change when the doors closed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, that car was built. And we just started moving. I said, aren't you going to start it? I'm used to hearing mine start. His was already running and I didn't know it. We drove around on campus. It was quiet. And I said those lines. Can you say it with me? This is the life. This is the life I've been missing out on this all these years. You know, riding in the back of station wagon. Our first station wagon that we had was an old blue Ford sedan. And Dad took the back seat out of it and put it in the new station wagon that we bought, which was a used station wagon, a 65. And he put it in there, but it faced back out the window. And I know why Dad did that. He didn't want to have to look at us while he's going down the road on a vacation. He would hear, are we there yet? But he wouldn't see it, all right? So we were facing out the back of that thing, and we thought, you know, this is great. This is great. This is the life. We can look out at people while we're going the other direction. But I found out when I got in that Mercedes that that wasn't the life. That wasn't even close. To be in that car, it was just smooth. He said, you want to hear the radio? I had an AM radio in my Ford Maverick. Okay, you know the old sound that the old AM radios used to make? He had a touch button. Boom, boom. And he was just hitting the touch at all those stations. And we were like, what? This is in the days whenever, you know, they put tape decks in there. That was the new thing back then. And now, you know, we're past that. We're into electronic digital type stuff, you know, with satellite radio and things of that nature. And it just keeps changing that phrase, this is the life, isn't it? But I want to tell you about someone that is the life. And that's Jesus Christ. He was life, and the life was the light of men. We live in darkness, do we not? We live in darkness. This world is the darkest of all places in the planet. You talk about the black hole, that's the earth. We are a black hole of sin. But the light has shined from heaven in Jesus Christ to expose what life really should be. Eternal life in Jesus Christ. And by the way, the moment you get saved, you get eternal life. It's not something you get when you die. It's something that you receive from Jesus Christ and you have His person in the Holy Spirit living within you. That's eternal life. I want you to know that in Jesus Christ, I have life. And I have life more abundantly. We're told in a different passage. What should we do in response to the knowledge about the fact that our Lord is eternal, He's omnipotent, He's the creative power? Come. Would you say it with me? Come, let us adore Him. He deserves my allegiance. Not just me, you know, thinking, yeah, this is a really good God that we have. And it's really good like last night's meal because we use the same word so flippantly, right? To adore means to give your allegiance to Him. He deserves it. He deserves your allegiance this morning if you're here without Jesus Christ. You need to cry out to Him because the clock on the wall is ticking. And it's expending the seconds of your life. And you don't know how much time you have. You don't have any idea. Yesterday I went for a drive. I like to, this time of the year, I like to go up through the fields up north of town. And I decided to go to Century. And then I came back. I went all the way over to Bruton and came back down. And I said, I'm going to stop by and I'm going to see one of my classmates' graveside. I haven't been by there since he passed away. Terrible accident, killed him, left behind a wife and three children. But I went over and saw the magnificent stone that was there, and they now put his picture with his wife. The wedding picture is posted on there, and all the memories flooded back of school, being together in classes. That morning when he kissed his wife goodbye and went out into the fields to work, he had no idea that he would not come home. She began to call around, "Have you seen him? He's not home yet." "No, I haven't seen him." Several of the relatives got together and they went out looking and they found him killed, dead. He had no idea that that would be his last day. Left behind, didn't get to see grandbabies. He died right before Christmas. Very, very sad account. But it's a reminder, folks. It's a reminder. You're not guaranteed of a tomorrow. You're not guaranteed to sit by a Christmas tree on Christmas Day. You're not guaranteed a lunch today. You better know Jesus Christ. You need to come and you need to adore Him. He made you and He can save you by His grace. Father in heaven, I pray that You do a work in hearts and lives today. We're living in times in which we see the only answer to life's problems being found in the government. Oh, how foolish. There's no government in this world that can save a soul. Only Jesus Christ, the all-powerful God, the God-man, the one who took upon Himself flesh and was virgin-born, that He might not know sin, even though He witnessed and experienced the struggles and the temptations of this world. Lord, I pray that You would help us to turn to Thee before it's too late. Maybe there are some here that need to come and adore Him. They need to give their allegiance to Him before it's too late. Father, we have boys and girls in this audience today. We have teenagers. We have adults. We have older folks. Been down the road of life. They know the pitfalls. They know the struggles and the difficulties. A lot of boys and girls just starting out. I pray that You might turn their hearts toward Thee, that they might know that forgiveness that comes through the cross of Calvary, forever secured, the blood that washes us and makes us white as snow. Father, I pray that You would do a work in hearts and lives today, and I pray that as Christians, that You would help us not to get so caught up in the commercialized concept of Christmas, which completely erases the truth. Help us not to get so caught up in that that we fail to adore Thee. Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts today, that You would work in souls to draw them unto Yourself. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.